From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today, folks. Hope things are going good wherever you might be today. A lot going on in the news, and we're going to get to all the big stories of the day. Some great guests coming along, including the father of one of these kids that was attacked by this moron in Washington, D.C. The kids were called racist crackers because they were wearing Trump hats. We're going to talk to the father of one of those children a little bit later on in today's show. Go ahead, write down our toll-free telephone number. You will need this if you want to dial in today, if you want to talk on the radio. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. Have a question for you. There's a lot of debate right now over what to do with the children of America. Is it time to send little Billy, little Susie, back to school? The president is urging governors to reopen schools by the fall. That is suspect at the moment. As a matter of fact, in Tennessee, for example, we understand they're giving students in many school districts the option. You can either do homeschool, you can stay at home and watch school on the internet, or you can be in a person in a class. And there's been a lot of debate over the not so much the educational process, but the mental implications here. What kind of an impact is the isolation? Young people being away from classmates and friends, young people not being able to participate in sports. And a lot of people have been wondering what kind of an impact that's going to have. And is it really worth it? Are we setting these kids up for some significant psychological, I don't know, trauma down the road here? And I have a couple of theories about that, and we're anxious to hear from you as well. Do you think it's time to let the kids go back to school? 844-747-8868. I want to read something to you, and I've been meaning to do this for a couple of days now. But this is a chapter from my latest book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. And I thought about this chapter a little while ago. I was working on the morning commentaries that air on a lot of radio stations around this country. And I was writing about how our government leaders, and by government leaders, I'm talking about on the state level, how their hatred of this president is so great that they see the tanking economy as a weapon, as an avenue to take down this president. Newt Gingrich said as much. Speaker Newt a few days ago said that he believes that the economy is shut down. We lose the economy again, that it's over for the president. No second term. Hello, President Joe Biden and Vice President Michelle Obama. He didn't say that, but I did. And so a lot of these government leaders, these Democrats who are now serving in positions of overlords, have been telling people they have to shut down their businesses. And we're going through that here in Memphis, Tennessee. They just announced the bars will be now closed indefinitely. So if you're going down to Beale Street, not only will you not hear any blues, but now you won't be able to, you know, to have a an adult beverage, a libation, if you will. And they're also considering plans to shut down the restaurants again. A lot of people are saying, Tom, we can't handle this anymore. Our business, we're barely making ends meet now, and we can't do this. And that's the point. Because the Democrats, in their quest to take out this president, you folks who own the local pizza joints and you own the local local meat and threes, as we call them here down south, you people are collateral damage. You people are expendable so long as they can take out this president. It's an ugly thing that's happening in this country. So I wrote a fake Associated Press news story in my column or in my book. And I want to read. I wanted to read this to you. This book came out in October, and we've seen a massive uptick in sales because a lot of the things I predicted would happen in America that were completely dismissed by many in the mainstream media have actually come true. And I want to read to you this fake Associated Press news story that I wrote in the book, Chapter 2. And it goes something like this. Imagine waking up in the year 2030, that's 10 years from now, and seeing this news item appear on your smartphone. Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, the Dateline. Reverend Oliver Criswell Hart, the late president of the Southern Baptist Convention, died in a federal prison today. He was 92. Hart, who once headed the nation's largest Protestant denomination, had been imprisoned for felony violations of federal hate crime laws. The Southern Baptist Convention, like many other denominations, was disbanded by the federal government in the early 21st century after it was declared a domestic hate group by the Department of Homeland Security. Ironically, Pastor Hart was a direct descendant of one of the Southern Baptist Convention's most renowned ministers, Revolutionary War hero Reverend Oliver Hart. The elder Hart had been pastor of the First Baptist Church of Charleston, South Carolina, just before the outbreak of the war. He was heralded for preaching sermons about freedom from the pulpit. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. Even though this is a fake news story that I wrote for the book to illustrate where we are going as a country, Oliver Hart is a real person, a real figure in American history, a true Revolutionary War hero. He preached about freedom from the pulpit of his church house. Now continuing. The modern-day Pastor Hart had refused to comply with federal agents who demanded that he stop reading and preaching from the Holy Bible. He was also found guilty on multiple counts of discriminating against Muslims and LGBT Americans during sermons he delivered from pulpits. The original translations of the Bible were banished by special legislation enacted under the 2025 Hate Crimes Act. Most religious books were confiscated by federal authorities and replaced with a government-approved text that removed all verses deemed controversial or hateful by censors. Democrats reclaim majorities in both the Senate and the House of Representatives by campaigning on a promise to pass that legislation. The president signed it into law in a ceremony heralded by protected people groups, as well as the Muslim Brotherhood. The Supreme Court rejected an emergency appeal filed by religious liberty advocates. In their landmark 7-2 decision, the court ruled gay rights trump religious liberty. Quote, discrimination in the name of God is an abomination that must not be tolerated in a free society, the majority wrote in their opinion. Religion disguised as bigotry and hate has no place in a tolerant and diverse society. By the way, that's an actual legitimate quote I pulled from a Supreme Court decision. Frightening, isn't it? Continuing. Followers of so-called extremist religions like the Baptist and the Presbyterians were then expelled from public service and banned from holding public office. At least 100 Catholic and evangelical members of Congress, mostly Republicans, were removed from office after they acknowledged they followed the teachings of Christ. Let me stop you here. You know the inspiration for that paragraph? Senator Bernie Sanders, grilling an evangelical Christian from Wheaton College who had been nominated for a position in the Trump administration. And Bernie Sanders said from the rostrum there in the Senate hearing, you are not qualified to serve in government because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You can look it up. You can Google it. Let me continue. The president offered to pardon Hart, provided he make a public renouncement of his faith and his beliefs that homosexuality is a sin and that Islam is an evil religion. He refused to do so and was immediately taken into federal custody. The Internal Revenue Service shut down the Southern Baptist Convention headquarters in Nashville, along with other Baptist organizations in Atlanta and Richmond, Virginia. Hart's death came just 2 weeks after the anniversary of the Day of Sorrows, marking the worst terrorist attack on American soil. Islamic radicals staged suicide raids at more than 24 churches on Easter Sunday. Nearly 10,000 worshipers were killed in what became the worst terrorist attack on American soil. A congressional investigation found that many of the attackers were agents of the Islamic State who had immigrated to America posing as refugees. 2 weeks later, the radical Islamists blew up Christian schools in Colorado Springs, Nashville, and Atlanta, and attacked a crowded Chick-fil-A restaurant in Dallas. The carnage was horrific. Several hundred died, mostly children. The bloody attack sparked what would become a de facto holy war. An angry president argued Christians bore some responsibility for the attacks because of their teachings against Islam. He demanded that Christian pastors stand down and stop the flaming passions of hatred from the pulpit. By the way, that line right there, flaming passions of hatred, that's a quote from Barack Obama. Quote, Christians must turn the other cheek, the president declared. But the Southern Baptist Convention and other major denominations scoffed at those demands and led a coalition of evangelical Christian denominations who vowed to ignore the pleas from Washington. With the Islamic radicals threatening to launch even more attacks, Congress decided to intervene. To appease the radicals, Congress outlawed all public displays of religion that were contrary to Sharia law. A bipartisan committee established what would eventually become the United Church of America, a government-approved, state-sponsored religion. Tax-exempt status for every Christian church was immediately revoked, and the IRS confiscated all church property. Church buildings underwent a religious cleansing. Any relics deemed offensive were destroyed, including crosses, hymnals, Christian flags. Many former sanctuaries were turned into convention halls and community centers. A national ministerial registry was created. Pastors were required to obtain government credentials authorizing them to preach, but only from government-approved texts. Hundreds of preachers, mostly Baptist and Pentecostals, defied the law and were subsequently charged and sentenced up to 5 years in prison. The Department of Education immediately ceased all funding to Christian colleges and universities. Professors who advocated for creationism were sent to re-education camps. Many schools were forced to close. By the way, what was it the Bernie Sanders supporter said a couple of months ago? If his guy got into the White House, they'd send all of us to re-education camps? Prayer was formally banned in public schools. The federal government also rescinded legislation making Christmas a federal holiday. Easter, St. Patrick's Day, and Valentine's Day were also banned. Education officials soon implemented a mandatory LGBT education curriculum. By the way, that's already happened in many school districts across the country. The Department of Homeland Security shut down the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Awana, and a number of other Christian-themed clubs. Gideon's International, a ministry that provides Bibles to school children and hotels, was designated as a domestic hate group. The Pentagon court-martialed hundreds of chaplains who refused to stop praying in the name of Jesus. And Christians were eventually banned from serving in the armed forces as well as government sector jobs. Christian business owners were required to sign a statement declaring they would not discriminate against protected people groups. They were also required to mark their stores and shops with the fish, the sign of Christianity. Those who refused were shut down. You must leave your religion at home, the president warned Americans. By the way, actual quote from Barack Obama back in the day. The Christian cleansing of the nation did not come easily. There were pockets of resistance in areas of what was once known as the Bible Belt. The Department of Inclusion and Diversity, a cabinet-level position created during the second term of the Michelle Obama presidency, launched a massive sweep of the region during the winter of 2027. Anyone of the Christian faith caught proselytizing faced a mandatory 3-year prison sentence. Jails became so overcrowded the government was forced to shorten prison terms and instead placed convicted Christians in a national database. Pastor Hart had warned Christian Americans such a day was coming in the historic presidential election of 2016. He conducted a nationwide bus tour urging evangelical Christians to pray and vote. Quote, the church needs to vote. The church needs to show up at the polls. Secularism has come into Washington, and Washington is taking God out of it. We as Christians are being pushed further and further in the back. And I say, let's take our country back. And yet Christians did not heed the pastor's warning. The 2020 presidential election proved pivotal. Just hours after being sworn in, the new president nominated liberal justices to the Supreme Court, permanently altering the ideological makeup of the bench. Now, let me stop here for just a moment. And I'm going to conclude after we take a break. I wrote this in October. And yet I was able to look down the road and see that the men that had been put on the bench by George W. Bush, Justice Roberts was in fact a liberal. This is where we're going if we do not stand up. This is where we are going if we do not get out and vote on Election Day. So all that to say, set aside the crap, don't believe the polls, get your butt out there and go vote on Election Day. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. I'm going to conclude this when we come back. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
With this, again, reading from chapter 2 of my book, Culture Jihad. You guys know I don't do this a lot, but I want to set the stage for where we are moving forward here on this program. So as I mentioned in the previous segment, this is an imaginary Associated Press news story. What does this country look like, I don't know, 50 years from now if we decide to stand down? And I can tell you that bad things will happen. Bad things have happened because good people are not standing up. Thank goodness that we have a president who's willing to stand up. The problem is most of the people in his own political party are not willing to do the same. So let me conclude here. Historians have concluded that Pastor Hart was correct in his assessment of the 2020 presidential election. Had Christians bothered to vote, they could have swayed the outcome of the election. So look, I hear a lot of you folks out there moaning and groaning about the polling data and that conservative news outlets are turning against the president, that the Fox News polls are showing Biden with a lead. Folks, don't believe it. Don't believe it. The most important thing for you to do on Election Day is to get your butt out there and go and vote and start voting for Republicans who share your values. And if you do that, we're going to win the day because there are a lot more of us than them. And I'm telling you, if this president focuses on the big issue of the day, which is law and order, he will win in a landslide. The president cannot get sidetracked here. The president cannot go chasing squirrels. We've got to have a president who is laser focused on the big issue of the day, which is law and order. That's what this is all about. And I got to tell, I'm going to say some stuff about the schools. A lot of you folks are weighing in. I am very curious right now. Do you want to see the kids go back to school? 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. The Todd Starnes radio program. By the way, a lot of folks saying, Todd, how can I get your book? Very simple. Just go to toddstarnes.com. We have links to wherever you want to get your book at in the live show blog. And if you'd like an autographed copy, all you have to do is go to the radio show store, which again is on our website. And I'm happy to autograph and personalize a copy of Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. So, look, President Trump caused quite a bit of controversy yesterday when he said that he disagreed with the CDC's guidelines for reopening schools. I mean, it's just, folks, it's just nuts. You may as well just put the kids, dress the kids up in little spacesuits and let them walk around. I mean, that's just crazy. So the president says it's time for the kids to go back to class. And he is going to pressure governors to reopen the schoolhouse doors. Now, what kind of an impact that's going to have, who knows? The president and the first lady at an event yesterday said they're going to put a lot of pressure on governors to reopen by the fall. The president said, we don't want people to make political statements or do it for political reasons. They think it's going to be good for them politically, so they keep the schools closed. No way. And all the interviews I've seen, the kids want to go back. They want to be able to hang out with their friends. They're tired of being cooped up inside their home. And look, I don't have kids, but I have to imagine we have a lot of people in our listening audience that do. And I'm very curious, what kind of an impact has this quarantine, this shutdown, had on your children? Have you noticed some sort of a change in demeanor, a change in attitudes, behavior? I'm hearing reports that many children are becoming a little withdrawn. They're not wanting to engage because they're isolated. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Now, what I find fascinating about all of this, there are a lot of parents who say that they are ready to get the kids out of the house. One local mom was on Laura Ingraham's show last night on the channel, Fox News Channel. And she said that she was very frustrated with the local school district's reopening plan. Her name is Amber Condry. And Ms. Condry says, I'm just saddened that it doesn't seem like there's a push to get kids back in school. Because there's constantly these changes sent down by the governor where we have to abide by some new rule and then they're going to have to change their whole game plan again. And she asks a question, and this is where I want to have a conversation. Mrs. Condry says, it just seems like, are we ever going to open, and how long until our kids are able to learn? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the problem with America. How long until our kids are going to be able to learn? Well, I don't know, ma'am. You're a parent. What are you teaching your kids? Or are you abdicating your responsibility as the parent, the primary education giver? Are you abdicating that responsibility to the government? And maybe, just maybe, that's the problem with America right now, that far too many moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas have abdicated the responsibility of teaching their kid right from wrong, teaching their kid about American history. They've turned over that responsibility to a godless, amoral government. Not immoral, amoral. So I got to tell you, as much as I think the kids need the social interaction, I think the kids are better off not being in the public schoolhouse right now. I think the kids are better off learning from home. I mean, look at how many kids are homeschooled. I mean, by and large, the kids turned out pretty good. They win the spelling bees. They go off and become the engineers and the whatnot. And they figured out a way around the social distancing thing. I mean, homeschoolers were doing social distancing before social distancing was cool. That's why it's called homeschool. So I'm not too keen on getting the kids back into these government indoctrination camps, to be perfectly honest with you. But there's a problem. The kids have to learn. They've got to be able to study. And if mom and dad are not going to do that, then that's a big problem. But I am curious what's going to happen here. You have Harvard University that says they're going to be doing their classes online, folks not going back on campus. A lot of schools around the country are still making those determinations. Liberty University, a supporter of this radio program, all the kids are going back. Truett, McConnell University, another great supporter of this radio program, their kids are going back. But I am curious, what do you think they ought to do here? Do you agree with the president the kids need to be back in the classroom? The only people who are opposed to this, by the way, are the teachers and administrators. And you know what they're doing right now? They're sitting back, drinking their little adult libations with the little umbrella, and they're getting a paycheck. a lot of other people in this country not getting a paycheck, but the school teachers and the administrators, they're getting a check. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Laura Ingram says, in Fairfax County, Virginia, families are given two options. You can either enroll the kids 100% online classes 4 days a week, or in-person classes for 2 days a week. The kids have to remain separated at all times. You think the kids are going to separate? I don't think so. Other people are beginning to enroll their kids in homeschool co-ops. And I think that's a pretty smart thing to do. But the president is, I think he's hearing from moms and dads who are frustrated. They don't know what's going on. We're paying all these taxes. These schools are there. They're not being used. And the president is, he's trying to figure this out as we go along here. By the way, president sitting down with an interview, Real Clear Politics. President says Republicans need to toughen up. That's what the president says. They've got to toughen up. He said they've got to stand firm against the left-wing causes, or they may find themselves on the losing end this November. Oh, I believe that. I mean, we've heard it from so many of our listeners here on this program. People are fed up. They're fed up with these Republicans not wanting to take a stand. Oh, by the way, have you heard about Don Lemon over at CNN, the most profane name in news? So Don Lemon wants President Obama's face chiseled into Mount Rushmore. Don Lemon from CNN, the most profane name in news, in an interview with Fredo, one Chris Cuomo, says that President Obama, being the first black president, should be front and center of the monument atop Mount Rushmore. So, I don't know how they're going to get. I don't know. You know, how did they get the Obama? You know, Obama used to talk about how big his ears were. You know, he had the big ears. You know, they kind of poked out a little bit. How do you get the ear? I mean, the ears could. I don't know. That could be a problem. I'm just saying. I'm not a sculptor, but I imagine that would, you know, that's not like a little pebble kind of a project. That's like big, you know, rocks and boulders.
Sounds like maybe a campsite, potentially.
Could be, possibly. Look, who am I to judge? But I'm not sure how you squeeze the face and the ears up there. But, you know, if there's a way, they'll figure it out. At least, what is it? Chris Cuomo Fredo said, it beats blowing up the monument. So, I reckon so. All right, let's get to the phones. Benton, Arkansas. Megan, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi. I actually want to say thank you for your program, and I love listening to it as much as I can. I have little kids, so sometimes I don't always get a chance. But I was thinking about the homeschool and the kids going back to school issue, and I grew up in a private school, but I actually homeschooled my graduation years pretty much by myself. And, you know, most of my siblings, I feel, turned out pretty smart. A lot of people, they said, well, one problem with homeschool is that your kids are going to end up socially backward and they don't have the interaction that public school gives and all that. But we were the ones taking field trips everywhere. My parents were very selfless and took us on trips and made everything very educational. And my father actually told us, you know, you educate yourself as much as you want. And as far as parents and everything, you know, it's basically, I feel like it's a parent's choice to educate your kids as much effort as you want to put into that. Homeschool to me, I think as parents, you have the option of providing different educational, different things for them, you know, in a busy life and everything. I believe the parents are the ones who set those goals for their kids. That's a different opinion.
Megan, do you have children now of your own?
Yes, I do. I have two.
So what would, you know, when it came time to educate the youngsters, was that a choice? Was that a difficult choice to make, or have you made that choice yet? Are they old enough to go to school?
Well, okay. So my oldest is not quite old enough to go to school yet. So, maybe it's different for me to have this opinion, but it's a very solid opinion of mine because I believe in educating your kids from babies up. You know, my toddler, a lot of people said, wow, she's so advanced for her age. And I didn't feel like she was, because to me, it was just the normal. Everything to me, I purposely, you know, and it's, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of work, but every time I saw an educational opportunity from little babies, I just took those opportunities. And when it came to school, before my kids have even, you know, gotten into the school age, we just know right away, look, this education thing is going to take a lot of work and discipline and sacrifice, but it's not impossible. Even in the day we live in, it's not impossible. If even from toddlers all the way up, you know.
You know, Megan, it's interesting. You mentioned two words, and I think these are important words. You were talking about your parents, and you said they were selfless. And then you talked about you and your husband making sacrifices.
Yes.
That's what this is really all about. And look, I don't begrudge people. They want to go out there. They have, you know, both mom and dad out in the workforce, working full time. I get it. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, what is the most important thing in your family right now? Is it having the extra car? Is it having the massive house? Or is it making sure your kids are educated and they're growing up to be godly young men and women?
Exactly. That's what I believe.
Well, good for you. This is an encouragement, Megan, because, again, I think if we're going to take back this country, we got to get a hold of the education system. And we've got to start taking responsibility for training up the next generation.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Well, look, Megan, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for listening when you can. I understand it sounds like you're pretty busy there. So a lot going on in the household. And folks, these are decisions that a lot of families are having to make right now. Do you homeschool? Do you send your kid back to public school if the public schools reopen? And what has that experience been for you? I would be curious to hear from homeschool folks, because Megan's right. There is that sort of, stigma that, maybe the homeschool kids are not more socially adept. But I got to be honest with you. I remember my time in public school, and there are a lot of socially backwards folks in public school. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, most of the homeschool people I know, they're just regular folks. You can't buy into the Hollywood narrative. You just can't. And that's, sadly, I'm afraid homeschoolers have kind of been tainted by that. And that's unfortunate. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're with Todd Starnes.
Let's get right back to the phone lines. Little Rock, Arkansas, Melba, listening to us on KARN. Hi, Melba. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I'm just to Megan's point. I just listened to her, and as I was telling the young man, she seems like a very young mom, and I want her to know that Arkansas is a very friendly homeschool state. We have had the right people in the legislation all these years, and not quite like we do now. It's better, much, much, much better now. A present governor, a little bit excluded, but he's been good on this. Since it became legal in 1985, and I wish I could remember the little girl. It was an 8-year-old girl that talked before a judge, and he was just basically blown away from how able she was to communicate. And So it's been legal, and it's just gotten better and better. And I homeschooled my last daughter for about 6 years. And she had been in private school up to that time. Pulaski County never knew she existed until I had to register her for homeschool, because you have to register with your county public school administration office. And basically you tell them what you're going to do, how long you're going to do it. And then you do what you want to, Todd, just to be honest. I never told them that we had a Bible class every day. But I just got the basics in, and I knew the curriculum that I wanted, and it was not easy. But I took the curriculum, the grammar and math from the private school she was in, and it was top line. And the reading was Anabaptist up in, it came from Ontario, Canada, I think, and it was good. The only thing we didn't do was spelling. I just didn't want to waste my time because I felt like she could memorize 15 or 20 words.
We've got about 30 seconds here, Mel. But I'm curious, how did the kids turn out?
Oh well, she's in her third year law school.
Pretty darn good then.
Yeah, she. I wish you could speak to her. She has got a sharp mind, and she is can articulate things much better than I can. But she's very conservative, and I think you would. I wish she would call you. So I may ask her if she'll call in to you. She's had to go through a couple of things at that law school that I think you would be interested in, but she has held her ground. But the kids have to take the test, same test the public school kids do at the end of the year. And, she knocked it out of the park every year, and I know it's because we didn't do all that teach to test stuff. And many things you don't have to do when you homeschool that they do in public school. And just, I want Megan to know that, and there was a professor at UALR taught him.
Sorry? Oh, hey, Melba, I hate to do this, but we got to cut you off or they're going to cut me off. So, Melba, thank you for calling and thanks for being a good mom, too. Hey, look, a lot of folks on hold. We're getting to your calls. You got to hang on through the news break. Mike in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Matt in North Carolina. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get to your calls. ToddStarnes.com, by the way, our website. We'll be right back.